Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 106, Late Night Edition. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other side of the table is Ken Phillips. What is going on, good sir?
Oh, not too much, Kevin. It is OPA after dark, for sure.
Yeah, we combined forces to push this one probably later than it needed to be.
Yeah, we kind of were engaged in a volleyball of making this run later than it could have been. But
yeah,
you know.
Because I honestly, as much as I enjoyed my stop, well, actually, I really enjoyed my stop at actual brewing. I talked to some people and surprised some people and had a generally good time with three people that I am not familiar with.
You surprised people in a good way?
They were surprised that I was a heavy metal fan, given the appearance, you know, no tattoos, no outward piercings, nothing to kind of indicate completely crazy, headbanger guy.
Right.
Short hair, clean shaven. You know, there's nothing, nothing in this look really that says heavy metal.
Yeah, it does. You do go across type there with your look. I would say, you know, perhaps to those who knew you, you could have shown your nipple rings as proof, I suppose, at one point in your life.
Hey, yeah, those were definitely something I could have shown off. I also brought up the tongue ring could have been shown off.
Yes, yes.
That actually stuck the longest, I believe, out of the piercings. And the eyebrow piercing also. That only lasted about a year, though. Honestly, that ended up getting too hard to hide from the family. I thought it was a little bit harder than I thought, even though it was the most... you can kind of take that in and out pretty easily. But it also got to be a pain in the ass taking it in and out.
Easy is relative, I guess, when you're talking about shoving a piece of metal through
part of
your
body.
Yes. When you look at it that way, you know.
Well, funny you'd we would talk about my piercings due to our first topic tonight, Ken.
Yes.
This guy,
well, he's taken the idea of, like, being able to do what he wants with his body, I would say, Kevin. Like, you know, in college, you know, you could do what you wanted with your body in terms of piercings, really.
Yeah, or tattoos, so chosen.
But, you know, you might still feel a little guilty, or like you say, you need to hide from your parents, to avoid tensions there. But this person also, I think, felt the need to hide what they did, Kevin, for a
yes.
little while at least.
Well, they still did not, they didn't use his name in this article, did they?
No, it was
because it's still
an
just an anonymous Reddit user. But I would imagine that there's, I don't know how much in the public record department there is about whether you take home your human body part when it has been amputated.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that is a lot. I would imagine that is not public record.
Oh, in terms of like the percentages of people who are opting to take home their amputated
I'm saying I'm trying to figure out how easy it would be to figure out who this guy is.
Oh.
Because there are certainly a lot of details to his story that, you know, the accident that he suffered that ended up shattering his ankle. Well, his foot and ankle.
All right.
Like,
well,
they showed the...
I think we're getting a little bit off topic here. Or maybe we should set things up a little bit more, because what we're talking about, or maybe people saw on Twitter earlier, this was posted, but we're talking about someone who, after getting their foot amputated...
Well, yeah, I mean, I was trying to set up the accident here, man.
I mean, this is in the headline, though. I mean, I feel like we need to set people's...
expectations?
Yeah, what exactly we're talking about here.
Maybe yeah, just Vice, say the headline. Just saying
the headline probably is the best way to do it.
Vice.com was very blunt about it. The other article that you had was a little more gentle in its wording, I will say. Vice went right for the neck and it says, "This guy served his friends tacos made from his own amputated leg," which is 100% accurate.
Yeah, as far as, you know, we come down on sensationalist headlines sometimes on the show. You know, we are sometimes media critics here. But this one is accurate, I gotta say. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, there
based
are,
on the article.
As some of the people that I'm around now like to say, I see zero lies told in this headline. There is not one thing wrong in that headline. A gentleman had his foot amputated because of the accident. I believe he was on a motorcycle and he got cut off.
I think it was a bicycle, maybe, possibly.
Okay.
You know what? It said bike, so I'm not sure what that means, actually. You're right, because that could mean a motorbike as well.
Right.
To some people.
So, yeah, he really smashed up his foot in the accident. He actually said that he got really lucky that was pretty much the only damage, because he did not lose his whole leg. Like, he... only maybe lost like a portion of his shin, because I mean he still has below the knee.
Yeah.
So I mean he lost maybe about from mid shin down.
Yeah, lower to mid shin, I'd say. It's really close to the where the foot what or the ankle, I guess, on the leg is where the looks like the cut was made. Because there's also pictures of the. Amputation as well, or the limb, the remains after the amputation. So
yeah, and I guess that's why I was I was going through my line of thinking when we started talking about this topic about how to find this guy, because there's got to only be so many people that had their leg amputated in some type of a bike accident, whether it's motorbike or bicycle bike. I would have to say the pool of those people is somewhat limited. So I think you could figure this out fairly easily. I don't need to figure it out because this story is just awesome anyway. And I don't care who the guy is, to be completely frank with you.
I think it's probably better not to have found out about this. Because I got to admit, this was one of the, if not the grossest, I would say it's one of the top two or three grossest ones that we've ever covered on this show for me.
I guess this did not touch... Well, there was some gross button in there, but I was just so fascinated by the whole thing. Like, I'm kind of wondering, due to, you know, maybe the looks not prevailing to what I might do, if you, per se, decided to offer some... tacos made of part of your leg. I've eaten a lot of weird stuff. Like, it's been one of those things where it's just like, sure, whatever. Like, I always remember my mom telling me, just, you don't know if you like it if you don't try it. So I kind of taken that way more seriously since this kind of like food boom craze that's gone on during our lifetimes. The food networkingization of a lot of restaurants has made for some weirder ingredients to be out there. And plus, going to some foreign countries helps too.
Yeah. I mean,
so I've got to admit, I do find myself wondering if one of my friends offered me the chance to eat them, if I would take them up on the offer. I may be outing myself as a cannibal, but that is something that I can handle.
I mean, I think you're the thing that is interesting and probably unique about, I don't know, would you say, if you'd say this is unique, but it's pretty damn close to being unique, I would say. The situation is that this guy is, like, he's not charging money. He's not... It's not like he obtained this through grave robbery or something.
Yeah, that was kind of the early thing that was covered in the article, is the legality of the situation.
Yes.
As long as you're not charging money, basically, and as long as... the people are aware of what they're eating. You are in 49 out of 50 states. You are legally allowed to serve, human meat, really. Like, because it didn't say specifically, from yourself, I don't think.
Well, there's usually...
it has to be consenting.
I think there's rules about... some places about what you can do with a body, so you might not be able to eat, like, somebody's body. I can't believe we're talking about this, for God's sakes. But the case of this being, like, just a foot, I think is kind of like a weird gray area, in a way, too. Because there's probably not rules specifically set up to say, you can't eat your foot. Hey, because it's just something that people would not be normally even really tempted to do, I don't think.
Well, that was part of, I was thinking this, reading the article, I'm like, how much meat is on there? Like, unfortunately, that is where my mind wandered. And I'm just like, because himself and 10 friends, I believe. Yeah, because the 11th friend dropped out.
Yeah, and I totally understand why. Because this is gross as hell.
Well...
no, I can understand someone wanting to... you know, like you said, I don't think you're a terrible person, Kevin, for being... going along with this idea. But it's just so gross to me. It's like, why? What is the point? But I do remember after reading this article that I kind of felt like I kind of get it a little bit. So it is an interesting article in that way. Because you do talk, he does like actually interview the guy in question.
Oh, right.
And kind of get some of the thinking behind why he did this.
And it was kind of funny too that this was really his third option.
Oh, right.
Like,
yes.
As to what to do with his foot.
He knew he wanted to keep his foot for some reason.
Yeah.
Which is not something that I would even...
I think that weirds me out more, like, because people that stuff their animals, that taxidermy their animals after death, I have got to admit, that to me is really freaky. Like, that grosses me out more than eating someone.
Like taxiderming your animal.
Yeah, I just think that there's something weird and morbid about doing that.
Because it's like using the real fur and like the claws or whatever.
Yeah,
to make a
fake
a stuffed animal, basically.
Yeah, like it's weird.
It is pretty weird.
Yeah, if you want to buy like your dog in stuffed animal form to kind of help remind you of them, I'll power to you. I still don't get that, but I'm good with it. If you taxidermy your animal, little weird. Little weird.
I have seen people more commonly, I think, do that for trophies. From hunting.
Well, agreed.
Which you might think is weird still, but I don't know.
That's a little more understandable, I guess, but still a little weird.
but guy's first idea was to get it, go to a taxidermist and have his foot preserved as a, I believe he wanted to use it as a doorstop, maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because you'd have to scroll back up to... I can't remember what the other option was. Oh, and that part was kind of crazy, too. Oh, he wanted to freeze dry it, and it was $1,200 to freeze dry his leg.
Yeah, that seems expensive.
So, yeah, I guess that is a similar outcome to a taxidermy situation, because you're, I would imagine that preserves it for life.
Yeah, it sounds, I just can't handle this. He like decided that he wasn't going to be able to mold it and use it for, to make a plaster cast either. So they decided that they were going to,
yeah, I mean, this was
plan C, I guess.
Plan C was eat it, which I guess is another kind of interesting thing about the whole thing. Like, I guess, why do you have plan C, and why is, like, if you're going to eat it, isn't that, like, I mean, you're already thinking about it. Like, if it's plan C, like, you had to have been thinking about, like, it this whole time, right?
I think you're right. Like, you have to have strong feelings about, you know, plan C to even include it on your list. Like, you can't... To treat it as, like, your third option, like, oh, well, I guess I'll just eat my foot, is a little crazy. That might be, you're right, that might be, like, the craziest thing about this whole story. that was just like, well, I guess if these other things don't work out, I'll just probably just eat it.
Yeah, I'll just eat it, sure. Like, that's completely natural.
But what would his other option be? Like, put it in the trash? I don't know. Well, he wasn't able to, I mean, you know, obviously, I guess he still had, like, the bones and things to deal with.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, he did have a chef friend prepare. I was not surprised that they basically tried to kind of hide the taste a little bit. By doing more of a fajita-type stew on the meat. I guess I was not surprised that it tasted a little gamey. And that it tasted kind of like a venison. I guess I always imagined human is definitely more of a red meat kind of a thing.
Well, and, like, I don't know if they were necessarily... you know, refrigerating his foot the whole, because they had it at the hospital for a period of time.
Yeah, but they took very good care of it, which was kind of, to me, an oddly fascinating part of the story, too, about having to put it on ice, and he kept it cold, at least. What the hospital was doing with it exactly, I would imagine that they can't just, like, throw that out in the open. I mean, it's a human leg, man.
Well, I don't know. I guess they could keep it in, but don't they keep, like, dead bodies in, like, the morgue? Those are just, like, in drawers?
I would imagine that it would be in something similar to that.
Yeah.
You know, in a morgue-type situation, because... But that's he did not mention like a, that they didn't need to get formaldehyde out of it.
But if you had like a piece of steak that you were going to eat, you wouldn't just like throw it in a drawer and then like bring it out to eat later.
Yeah, he did say that he wasn't worried about that because of
because he had kissed rational thought goodbye at that point already.
No, he was. Because you do that to steak sometimes. It's a dry-aged steak.
Yes. Right.
And so he just figured that any type of aging that had happened, he just chalked it up to being similar to steak, where it just kind of dry-aged for a little bit. Mm. And it only made it a little bit tastier, I suppose.
Oh, man. I think that is a big supposition. And I don't think at all warranted by any of the facts at hand. I mean, it might have tasted good, but at least one person had to spit into their napkin at this meal.
Yeah, so one of the people did get too freaked out by eating their buddy.
I could
Which
see that being me.
I'm at, honestly a little surprised that it didn't happen to more people. Like, because that's one of those things that you're like, oh yeah, this sounds like a good idea. And then sometimes when the task is at hand, it's a completely different ball game. Like, you're sitting there and you're like, oh man, wow, that's like when you're jumping off of something. Because I even think I took a little bit of pause. I remember the wife and I went on a climbing obstacle course one time, and I was having all kinds of fun climbing around on all the obstacles. But when it came time to jump down, it had a little different feeling to it. Like, I wasn't, you know, when I was climbing around this stuff, I wasn't thinking about falling that much because I was always tethered somewhere. But like, kind of jumping out into the air and only having a harness to hold me instead of like a carabiner and my balance, I was just like, oh. But then I jumped off and it was a lot of fun. But yeah, I can see like that there's a moment of regret, I guess, that always comes with an act like this. Like, I mean, it is really weird. Like, there are not a whole lot of people that are going to say, I ate human flesh
Right. And that's kind of
and moved on with life.
I mean, the thing for me is like, what, there's nothing good that is going to come out of this. Like, if you, I mean, the best thing that can come out of this is that you don't like it and you think it's gross. To me, because if you eat it and you like it, what are you supposed to do with that, you know, knowledge of your preference that you enjoy the taste of human flesh?
Oh,
Because it's
well,
not like you're going to
act upon
ever,
it.
yes.
You're not gonna go vampire and just start sucking people's blood out
Well, I mean,
and killing them for their
or
meat.
amputating people, yeah, you
Go
know.
full Silence of the Lambs.
Sure. You just chop off enough to make for dinner or whatever. You know, I mean, that's the kind of road that you could be opening yourself up to, I think.
Yeah, I would think that no one would go that far. To me, it would be one of those, you know, I have had some tasty meats that, you know, you can't get everywhere. When I've gone out to Colorado, I've had some weird stuff like rattlesnake, which is just not going to be everywhere. Jackrabbit.
Sure.
And it's all tasty, but I'm not. You know, when I'm out there, that's what's gonna happen.
But say you got a hankering for a jackrabbit. I mean, you could, in theory, procure some somehow, some way.
Well, that is true.
If you wanted the taste
Of
of,
human flesh
yes,
again.
you would have no option, no recourse. I mean, what if it was the
You could
best day,
go. You
best meal you've ever had, and
you.
you're going to be like, knowing that to the rest of your life you're never going to have this again.
I am not endorsing this idea, but I'm saying it is a possibility. You know that your buddy had his leg amputated and then ate it. You could voluntarily take off a body part and eat it. Like, I mean, if you really like, if you're asking for that kind of commitment. That is a commitment to me that I guess I'm not trying to compare them, but in some ways, like I know that there's a lot of what do they call when you convert from one gender to the other? Transitioning.
Gender
Transgender,
reassignment. I don't know.
gender reassignment surgery. Yeah, I think that's a good one. There are times to me in gender reassignment surgery, especially with a man becoming a woman, that you've got to make a decision sometimes to go whole hog or not.
Yeah, that's a big choice to make, I would think.
And some people do make that choice, and that is a body part that is being removed. So, I mean, it's not completely, you know, I mean, people do remove body parts on their own.
True.
Not frequently, I would say. I would still think that that is a very minority of people. But I do think that even back in the day, like in the Middle Ages, they did realize that sometimes amputation, unfortunately, was the solution to getting rid of, like, maybe gangrene or something of that nature.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's... but I don't think you hear much talk of...
of that now?
Even though you've had... Well, no. I mean, they do amputate... today, but I don't even think back then you heard about people, you know, eating their amputated, you know, if we're wrong, we will update you guys. Maybe there are historical records out there.
I'm sure everyone is begging for this topic to come back. I mean, honestly, just because of this talk, this is my favorite episode ever. I'm going to throw that out there. Your squeamishness is hilarious. It has amused me to no end, so I hope it is coming across on the show.
Yeah, it's really gross to me. I don't like it. seeing the pictures of them, like...
Yeah, cooking. And I mean, they really documented this thing, too, because they showed two different stages of the fajita making, basically. They just did human fajitas.
Yes. So
to me, it's just pepper and onions. Again, like, I think the chef tried to do everything. Like, he even had they hyperlinked to the recipe, which was kind of funny. Yeah, you kind of see the process that they went through to cook it and chop it up and to serve it. Yeah, it is really wild. Like, that is not something that is gonna happen too often. And it was kind of interesting that he goes ahead and does this, and at least according to him, he had been stuck in a dead end job that he did not like. He has turned things around for himself after this tragic event, Ken. I think that that is maybe an underrated part of the story.
Yeah, and you know, it's a little bit to kind of carry the metaphor of making lemonade out of lemons. You know, when life hands you an amputation, you can just make fajitas out of it, Kevin. It did seem to give him a sense of closure, which is a little odd. I don't know. Not what I would do, but I think that's okay for somebody to do this. That's going to be my stance. Not for me though.
if you strangled a bobcat, right, would you want to turn that into fajitas?
Well. Bobcat fajitas, Kevin?
Bobcat fajitas.
Huh. Well, I think... It might depend on if it has rabies or not.
Well, I guess we can get that tested. If it does not have rabies, do you go bobcat fajitas after you strangle it?
If it was in self-defense, yes, I probably would.
Excellent. Well, a few weeks ago, there was a not-so-young woman that was attacked by a bobcat. And she proceeded to strangle said bobcat to death.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, I would definitely get the old ECW, she's hardcore, she's hardcore, she's hardcore. I think that that is definitely in order.
Oh my God, there couldn't be a more appropriate time for that chant, Kevin. You know, you've heard of, I guess she was outside her truck taking a picture of a bumper sticker that she must have been proud of and decided to commemorate it with a picture for all time. Even though, truth be told, it's going to be on there for a while, so if I understand bumper stickers, she's going to have plenty of chance to look at it. But she needed to take a picture. I think that this bobcat may have been acting as a divine punishment for her self-absorption here, Kevin. because while she was taking this picture, as it turned out, Kevin, in this case, I guess I would not be making fajitas, because this bobcat, it turns out, did have rabies and attacked her while she was taking a picture, which would be pretty scary, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy that, I guess bobcats aren't terribly huge. I do believe that of the feline variety, I want to say that they're in the dog size. You know, they're more typically like a medium-sized dog. I want to say that they're usually about 40 to 50 pounds, something like that. I feel like they're Kia-sized.
Leah, it looks like 19 pounds.
Oh, 19 pounds.
According to Wikipedia.
Okay. Well, then a little bit smaller than I even think. I mean, that's still pretty hardcore. Because any, you know, animal like that, any feral animal tends to be a little bit stronger than you would think by its size.
Yeah, and I mean, even if I've had occasion to get clawed by a common house cat, Kevin, and it's really not what I would describe as fun. Multiplying that by a few times.
Well, that's kind of funny that they're only 17 pounds, considering that the one cat we took in is 15 pounds. So, I mean, I guess we basically have a bobcat in the house.
I would say, though, that your cat is not as toned as a and muscular, probably, as the typical wild bobcat would be.
How dare you say these things about Spike?
Not to slam Spike here, but
by his name alone, you know he's tough. He can take a bobcat.
For our next episode of Stunt Granny, we'll be bringing you Spike versus Bobcat. Well, not necessarily death match. I don't know. We haven't decided on the rules, but it could be the best of three falls. We'll see what we get to. But
yeah, loser leaves town stipulation.
Or what was it, Money in the Bank? Is that one of the options?
I don't know. Well, I don't think that really works in this situation.
You don't think that bobcats or regular house cats really care about Money in the Bank? And they may not be able to legally open a bank account.
Well, so I feel like we are trying to settle a feud between Spike and the Bobcats. And a Money in the Bank match doesn't necessarily finish a feud. Maybe a TLC match if you want to get the same vibe, or just a straight up ladder match.
I like the ladder match idea. So this is good. I like where we're at. We're still early stages here. But
Spike versus Bobcat. This is going to be pretty big for 107.
Yeah, let's pump it up more.
But yeah,
a wild bobcat, all muscle.
By any wild animal, it's a little bit shocking. I know I've had to worry about snakes previously in a number of situations, having grown up around some wooded territory myself, because they can catch you off guard. Even though she had a little bit of vanity going to snap a picture of her bumper sticker,
right?
You can be... I am sure, like a domestic house cat, bobcats can be kind of sneaky.
Yes, that's
so
true.
So I would not put that behind it, that it could sneak up on, which kind of was almost crazy to me, the 46-year-old grandmother.
Right, that was the part that I guess we didn't really emphasize here, that, yeah, 40, she was a woman of a certain age, I guess you could say.
Well, yeah, she is basically our age.
Yes.
I mean, that's the other part that I'm like, grandmother? Like, really?
That's a pretty young grandmother.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, though, that there would be the possibility, some of our friends who had children at a younger age...
could be in
could
the range of being grandparents at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, I was thinking our friends that were here last week, Karen and Steve, potentially could be grandparents. I mean, the option is there.
Yes.
And they'd be 42. So, I mean, she was, despite the fact that it said grandmother in the headline, I will admit that she is a little bit younger than I think. When I think grandmother, I'm at least... you know, saying a minimum of 50.
Yes, you're right. She is breaking down the barriers of your conception of what a grandmother is. As being a 46-year-old woman and being a grandmother.
Well, wouldn't you say that if she was, let's say, 66, would you be a little more impressed with a 66-year-old grandmother strangling out a bobcat as opposed to a 46-year-old grandmother?
Okay, yeah, I think I would be. And are you saying that the writers of this headline intentionally misled people in a way by saying that this was a grandmother?
Inserting
into the idea of their heads sort of an elderly woman, when in turn, in fact, this was actually a middle-aged woman.
Well, again, they are completely accurate to describe her that way. If she has grandchildren, she is a grandmother. But maybe it is a false narrative in my own head, honestly. Maybe my perception needs to change. That, like we've just said, friends our age could have grandchildren at this juncture.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's something that probably is more my fault than their fault in this situation. I do think that, to me, anytime I hear grandmother, I do, like I said, I think older, but, you know, that could be wrong.
I think if they had said, you know, a 46-year-old woman strangled a bobcat, it probably wouldn't have gotten as much attention as it did by saying a... grandmother did it. So I think a little bit I'm going to put it on them because they knew what they were doing.
I agree with you. There is definitely a little intent when you're crafting anything like that. I don't think anyone does that blindly.
No, and you know, it's a bit of a good job on them too, because it did, I think in some ways want to put that out there with a headline to get some people to like read the article. So that is the nature of the beast, if you will.
Yeah. As far as terrible headlines that we've done that have been false, like, again, like you said, they knew what they were doing, but it's also true. So, I mean, you can't really blame them for running with going that way. There are times where it's just like, nah, this thing is just completely false.
Right. But... this one, it's factually true, Kevin. I see no lies on this one, as people say in certain circles.
Well, I was going to say another thing that was false was a false seismic event in Mexico.
Well, Kevin, that's an interesting way to put that, but tell me more.
Well... You know, Stunt Granny does like to talk about, well, your good buddy Lionel Messi is
friend
part
of the podcast, of course.
Friend of the podcast, Lionel Messi. He is currently playing in the World Cup, as are 31 other countries. And Mexico is one of those countries. The much maligned people to the south of us are enjoying a spot in the World Cup while the U.S. is sitting at home doing diddly shit.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Florida for a minute there. With the much maligned people to the south of us, but no. Okay, now I get it. They were the other much maligned people to the south of us.
Yeah, it's okay to malign the people of Florida since they're in our country. As long as they're in your country, you're allowed to malign them. As soon as the borders are crossed, we don't know how that works.
Well, that's fine then. So, yes, we're talking about the Mexican team playing in the World Cup, which the U.S., I guess real quick, how disappointed are you that the U.S. is not in this World Cup?
You know, it's been one of those things where with the... I don't know what it's been recently. Maybe the last couple of cycles of the U.S. team, I have not paid as much attention to as I had previously. So it didn't strike me maybe as bad as it should have in some ways. But it is pretty bad that they've pretty much qualified since 90, I think, for every World Cup. Or at least 94 when the World Cup was here. They started a string of, so it would have been 94, 98, 02, 06, 08, 12.
10, 14, but not 18.
Oh, yeah. I started miscounting there at some juncture.
I think right around 2006 you jumped to 2008.
Oh, I jumped 2 years.
Yes, yeah. But... It's true. It was a bummer when I heard about it, and then it kind of, I forgot about it until the actual World Cup came around, and then I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Shit.
Yeah, it's definitely a little disappointing not to have a rooting interest. I was trying to, because...
I was going to say, did you pick a team to root for, or...
Well, because not only did the U.S. go down in flames, a lot of U.S. fans were... more than happy to watch Italy go down in flames also in qualifying. The grandparents' homeland not in it this year. So that one was a little rough too. I got a double whammy in that department. I usually just, it's right for Italy. I did take German. I could always root for Germany, but I don't really do that anymore. They were involved in this match that we're talking about with them in Mexico.
Yes.
I do think that I settled on Portugal. I have always liked their Keller. They have like this nice kind of like deep red. Like it's a light deep red and kind of this almost fluorescent green. Like it's a light fluorescent green. I really like their colors, and plus Cristiano Ronaldo plays for them, so that kind of makes them easy to root for. Even as a gentleman that doesn't like gentlemen, he is a good-looking gentleman.
Yeah, except and famously has a weird-looking statue of himself, as we previously covered on this show.
Yes, we have.
All right, well, that's interesting. I didn't know. You know, one thing people may want to think about is to, would you say, Kevin, you could consider rooting for another North American team, sort of keeping it in the...
keep it in the family?
Yeah, the region.
I mean, they do qualify, not necessarily against each other, because they do take multiple teams from the CONMEBOL. I think I believe it's CONA. Oh shit! But I forget what like it is, but it's a confederation between Canada, U.S., Mexico, the island nations, and most of what you would call Central South, or not South America, Central America, because Panama is in the World Cup for the first time. And they are in our region also. So Mexico and Panama qualified. So, you do compete against Mexico, but most of the times, again, even in those the years that we mentioned, Mexico was in the World Cup too. So I mean, more than one team qualifies from our region consistently.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess there's a certain logic to rooting for the team from your. You can root for Panama if you like, I suppose, from your region.
Yeah, there are some people breaking down over here in the Panamanian song for the first time in the World Cup, and it's a big moment for a lot of people.
Not that song, Panama by
by Van Halen.
Van Halen.
No,
that's not the national anthem.
That is not their national anthem. I think that would kick ass if that was their national anthem. I that would be pretty fun if people started going to those types of songs for their national anthem. Just go, oh fuck it, man! Like, why do you need to have a stuffy like orchestra sounding song for a national anthem? Why not just rock out?
I don't know. Do you think though they should try to go for something more like electronic dance music? Do you think they could update the song for the present day?
Hey, I mean, I'm all ears. I'm not saying that it just needs to be rock. If you want to go electronic dance music, if you feel like that fits your country better,
yeah,
I say go for it. Like Jamaica, you can just have reggae music.
That seems like a give me right there. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Panama had a song named after them. So
that's what I was going to say.
Why not use that as your national anthem?
Not many countries have songs that are written for them, like popular songs written about them, I guess. So like if there was a country who could take this route that we're talking about here and updating their national anthems to be more modern songs that already exist, Panama is right there at the top, I would think.
Yeah, top of the list.
Maybe Georgia on My Mind, that Ray Charles song, but that is very on a technicality. since I'm not sure that he was talking about the country there in that song.
Yeah, I think it was pretty clear that he was talking about the state in that one. But hey, if you want to go with it, fine, man. I think that's part of my proposal. You don't need a stuffy song to be your national anthem.
Oh, and our topic, by the way.
We've kind of mentioned it twice and then just gone on side tangents. Why not?
Yeah, but it is kind of cool, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, A, we do talk about soccer enough that I feel like bringing up the World Cup is worth it. Oh, my God, those German fans crying. Why did I not? Oh, that is so worth it. The tears of any team is always something to behold.
Yeah, there's someone who really appears to be in the depths of I don't know, disillusionment, despair. You pick your D word.
Yeah, one or the other, all of the above.
Yeah, it's almost like the worst thing that could have happened to them has happened to them after this loss.
I mean, that's part of the reason why I love soccer. Like, I don't know how people can't get into this part of the human element of it. Like, whether you like it or not, don't you see that reaction and are either amused or elated with said reaction? Because there is the coach for Senegal has been gifed like crazy the last couple of days. He is very gifable.
So he's a known internet meme.
Yeah, because I believe it's Cisse, was his name. the story about the World Cup that we were talking about. So Germany is the defending World Cup champions.
Yes, so they are expected to do well in this World Cup.
At least that's a picture of, oh yeah, meme-worthy coach. Come on, it's again, completely accurate turn of events.
Oh yeah. Wow, he is really
And there's got to be a second one involved there. Oh, I think this is another one.
So there was
Yeah,
a fist
so
pump sort of move, I guess you'd call it.
yeah, there was a fist pump. Oh, yeah, the tiger paw. Everyone loved the tiger paw action.
Yeah, I think part of it is this is like a pretty like a, I don't know. I think he's a pretty cool looking dude here. He's got like a
It does help to add the dreadlocks. I do believe he's a little bit younger in the coaching department, which I always help think helps the cool factor.
Yes.
Me when plans get canceled. I mean, yeah, people were already using it for their own purposes. Which is just outstanding. I mean, if that's the level that you hit. So, I mean, to me, there's always a human element to the World Cup that I don't understand why people can't get into that. Just these kind of moments. And, well, again, to get back to the topic at hand, I suppose, maybe for like the 12th
This
time.
is maybe the most elliptical we've ever been in discussing a topic. We've talked about like the history of soccer, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely the history of soccer on OPA. And okay, Germany, defending champions, supposed to be one of the favorites. Mexico, I've got to admit, the U.S. division, along with Mexico, has not always done particularly well against some of the bigger name teams when they've been up at the World Cup.
So Mexico is strong underdog in this
So
match.
yeah, Mexico is strong underdog in this one, and they are the ones to score first. And the story was that there were so many people jumping up and down after this goal was scored that it registered a false earthquake on the seismograph.
Yes.
Because they used the whatever I believe it's called Sima, is their I because NASA would be the wrong thing. I'm trying to think of what measures earthquakes in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
because I
Geological Society or
yeah
something
the
like that.
geolo it, whatever it happens to be, but yeah, I know that there are like different governing bodies that are involved, but and they even showed the graph of the spike in activity in the moments right after the goal was scored.
Yeah, and to me it looked like there was a pretty good spike, I would say. Definitely noticeable. So that is kind of crazy to think that that many people. I mean, we said it was a false earthquake, but I guess it was an earthquake, really? I mean, if it registered as the ground moving that much, this was just a human-caused
Yeah,
earthquake.
maybe you go with a micro earthquake. I mean, I do remember being up at Kent and living through an earthquake.
Yes. And there was one that came through here a few years ago, I remember too.
Right. And they were very light. And it just kind of, you kind of feel a little bit of, like, huh? Like, I kind of felt like almost, I remember at Kent, like, it almost felt like there was a large truck moving right near us. And you almost feel the ground shake when you're around, like, a really big semi or something like that. And it kind of felt like that. So yeah, I guess that many soccer fans or that many anything fans jumping up and down, I would not be surprised at any type of seismic activity, whether it happened in Cleveland when they recently won a championship or Washington for the Capitals very recently, which is still unfortunately a wound in my heart that will never completely heal.
Had you heard that seismic activity happened in Washington, or are you just sort of speculating?
No, I am speculating.
Okay.
Pure speculation
Got
on
it.
that part. I do think that the addictive pool of soccer certainly lends to a larger crowd than that of hockey. Despite my love of hockey, I will admit that soccer draws a much larger audience, and this is the world's most watched event. So yeah, there are a lot of people, and Mexican fans are definitely down for some soccer.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that live in that country too.
yeah, it's a very large country.
So yes, we can imagine this happening, and it is kind of crazy to think about still.
Well, Ken, at the 55 minute mark, we want to talk about some democracy, or do we want to talk about some beer?
Well, Kevin, I think we can put the democracy aside for right now and just have a talk about a beer, maybe, since it is getting a little bit late. We can save our last topic. That's a little teaser, I guess.
Yeah, well, and it was kind of funny because we teased the whale topic on our last show and did not get to it. So we will go with both of those topics for the next show. I think is a good order of business for episode 107 then.
Yeah, we may not be the most trustworthy of brokers at this point, but yes, thank you for keeping us honest there, Kevin.
We always get around to it, Ken. I do not feel that bad.
All right.
And we may be teasing you a little bit longer than you want to be teased, but that's okay.
You know what? You like it, and you know you like it, so...
Exactly. Yeah. That's why you're still listening, and that's why you're ready to hear us talking about Eudora Brewing Company, La Chevelle Magique, which is a Belgian blonde. What this is one that the wife got me while she was it's a suburb of Dayton, Ohio. It's in Kettering, Ohio. So this is not quite Columbus local, but it is fairly local. It's brought to you by my nice Growler Works Growler. Is this the first time you've had a beverage out of this, or
I want to say it's probably the second time.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is a pretty fancy growler. No one can appreciate it. Maybe Kevin will have a picture
up. Always.
Yeah. But yes, it's made of metal. It's designed to be pressurized with carbon dioxide to operate a tap that comes out the top of the thing. So it's pretty baller, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, the wife got quite a number of questions when she went into Eudora Brewing with this device, which I'm not surprised by. Every time we've taken it out, which has only been maybe a handful of times since Christmas, and it always gets some people talking. But it's really good. It really does pour a good pint. You can adjust the carbonation level. And they do give you suggested carbonation levels for different beers. I know that I did not want to go above 10 PSI for this one, because the lighter beers, usually a lower PSI. The darker beers, usually a little higher PSI.
Interesting.
Which, yeah, I was not completely surprised by. I guess that's why the darker beers tend to be the ones that are also better off on nitro, as opposed to, again, blonde ale is a pretty light light beverage. This one, though, really is kind of an imperial because it's 8.5% alcohol.
I was going to ask you what the percentage was on this because it did seem to be a little bit high. But it also not as light as I would have expected from a blonde, I feel like.
Yeah, I do believe that I thought that Melissa said that it was an imperial blonde.
Mm.
And I would say from the 8.5% alcohol, it has a little more body than a normal blonde ale.
That's a fair, fair to say, for sure.
Blonde ales... That's kind of been funny. I've heard a lot of people complaining about IPAs and how they can be palate drying. And I do agree with them in that regard. It might be one of the reasons why I drink a lot of water while drinking beer these days, because it does dry the palate out. The hops dry the palate out. If you want to go a little bit lighter, blonde ale, definitely to me a way to go. A little more refreshing. It's a little more close to a classic Budweiser, honestly. More closer to a Budweiser than a Bud Light, I would say. Because there's a little more flavor in a Budweiser than a Bud Light.
It's true.
And to me, there's a little bit of kick in a blonde ale, but it's still pretty mild. And I do think it's a little bit better flavor than still maybe a Budweiser. I do need to maybe try an MGD, which was the beverage of choice back in the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania, Ken.
I believe that was before we started drinking Yingling, it was MGD.
Yeah,
So, yeah, that was a
we drank that pretty hardcore for a while.
good stuff. Well, yeah, this is not like a kind you want to have a whole lot of, just because of how it's 8.5%. But I think it's got a pretty good taste to it. So,
Yeah, I was very happy with her choice in beverages. There were some other options, but I've enjoyed doing the little bit lighter beverages here during the warmer months, Ken. It has been hot. And you know what? Maybe I am trying to go for a little more refreshing beverage. So
yeah,
out with the hops, in with the lighter blonde beers.
I agree.
And I guess
It's time.
I am at DeFrango 11. He's at Gozer 33. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes if you can still stomach our show.
I'm not sure I can, Kevin, but hopefully our listeners out there can. And have a great week, everybody.